If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. As we continue in our series, Why I Am a Christian, Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, Paul writes, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. And I just thank you, Lord, for the hope that we do have in Jesus Christ. And I pray you just teach us this morning, Lord, how much we need to be clinging to that, especially in these last days. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Last Thursday, November the 7th, in Duluth, Minnesota, a 46-year-old man named Anthony Nephew took a Glock 19, shot and killed his wife, their two kids, and his ex-girlfriend before taking that gun and shooting and killing himself. And why did he do it? Because he hated Donald Trump. And he was afraid that after the election, Donald Trump and all of us Christians who voted for him were going to destroy our democracy and turn America into Handmaid's Tale and come after his family and kill him because they were all leftists. So he thought he would just save us the trouble. Here's part of what he posted online. "I am terrified of Trump and his religious zealots inflicting their misguided beliefs on me and my family and burning us at the stake like witches or crucifying us on burning crosses." See what stupid propaganda does to people? And folks, absolutely none of that he said there was true. But even worse than that all making him wrong, it made him hopeless in his situation. But Christians, we are not hopeless. The good and best thing about being a Christian is that we always have hope in Jesus Christ, regardless of the situation. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Why I Am a Christian, looking at all kinds of reasons why we really follow Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And today we look at another reason why we are a Christian, and that's because we have hope in Jesus Christ. And to see that, we turn today to Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. In this part of Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul is telling us how we need to do everything right when it comes to living for Christ. And in our text today, Paul tells us we need to have hope no matter what we're dealing with, no matter what we're going through. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, if we're going to hang on in these last days like God wants us to, we've got to make sure we're doing hope the right way too. Our text this morning, Romans chapter 12, verse 12, tells us three things that we need to do to have that hope in Jesus Christ when it's absolutely needed the most. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to have that hope in Jesus Christ, we've got to rejoice in it. And that's exactly what it says here in verse 12. Rejoice in hope. And notice it doesn't just say have hope, because of course we Christians have hope. Guaranteed by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Because if Jesus Christ really raised himself from the dead, people, there ain't nothing, absolutely nothing he can't do for you. So praise God from whom all blessings flow. Don't just have hope, rejoice in the fact that you're never hopeless. So I don't care what your situation is, the pity train crashed at the corner of suck it up and move on. So for crying out loud, stop crying in your beer and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Rejoice in hope. Amen. And sadly enough, that is exactly what most Americans are not doing right now. George Barna tells us only 7% of the people in this country are born again Christians. They don't have hope because they don't have Christ. Depression rates right now in America are going through the roof across all ages and all categories. 70% of Generation Z is now terrified by phony man-made climate change because propaganda works. And now every 40 seconds in America, somebody commits suicide and kills themselves every 40 seconds. Hopeless. Lefties are freaking out and hopeless all over America right now because Donald Trump won the election.
I'm sorry.
I swear to God, if you idiots elect that demented man, I will burn this whole f***ing place to the ground.
I am 48 years old, and I have never experienced anything like this and never thought I would in this country. No, wait. I'm so stressed.
There's another white dude for Kamala right there.
If you're queer and your family voted for Trump like mine did, hi, hello, I'm your mother now. Just checking in, have you drank water today? Did you eat? Did you take your meds?
Notice the emphasis on meds. And they wonder why Donald Trump won. The morning after the election, all kinds of colleges all over America canceled classes in order to coddle the snowflakes. Harvard and Columbia canceled classes for students who were too distraught to get out of bed. Georgetown University offered student self-care rooms with milk and cookies and Legos and coloring books. Arizona State University brought in therapy dogs, and the University of Oregon offered baby therapy goats to help students cope with any post-election trauma. Michigan State University Professor Shalaga Bohar said this, "I am canceling all classes today to grieve the presidential election results because I cannot in good conscience go about my day like everything is all right. This is a catastrophic tragedy for all of us, but please stay safe." God help us, people. And because most men in America voted for Donald Trump, the childless cat ladies are now shaving their head and joining the 4B movement. They're swearing off dating men. No sex, no getting married, no getting pregnant and having babies.
Women are going to have to just refuse to participate. Sorry, if you're a man, I will not be responding to you. If you are a man, I will not be talking to you. I am going to be promoting the 4B movement from here on out.
You know what? If leftist women don't want to reproduce, that's good news for us. And if women don't want to have anything to do with men, good luck opening jars on your own. Hopeless. They're hopeless because they still don't understand why they lost. Because Kamala Harris was the most radical, fake, unqualified person to ever run for the White House. And her policies with high inflation and open borders and DEI claptrap are absolutely destroying this country. But see, instead of admitting that, it's just a lot easier to scream about Orange Hitler and call you a racist. They have no idea. And all the self-appointed guardians of the galaxy who are a lot better and smarter than you are because they're celebrities. Everybody from Jimmy Kimmel to George Clooney, everybody from Taylor Swift to J-Lo found out how irrelevant they really are. There's Whoopi Goldberg on The View showing how out of touch she really is with real Americans.
I appreciate that people are having a hard time. Me too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I work for a living. If I had all the money in the world, I would not be here. Okay? So I'm a working person.
Whoopi Goldberg's worth $130 million. And she makes $8 million a year just from The View. Do you think she really cares how high your rent is every single month? Nobody cares what these people think. Nobody cares what they say. And with things like the WAP song, the last person on the entire face of the earth that ought to be lecturing us about morality is Cardi B. Hopeless. But see, we Christians are not hopeless. We have hope because we have Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And because we always have Christ, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, we always have hope. There's what Christians were doing on election night. Those Christians in San Diego, California.
Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made.
See the hope? See the difference? See the difference that Jesus Christ makes? Now, in English, that word hope always carries a trace of doubt with it because it's usually followed by the word so. I hope so. But in the Bible, that is not what the word hope means at all. The Hebrew word for hope in the Old Testament is batah, and it literally means security and absolute confidence. The Greek word for hope in the New Testament is elpis, and it literally means standing on a firm foundation. So it's not I hope so, it's I know so. Because hope ain't just wishing, it's knowing. Bet the farm, no doubt about it at all. Amen. Did you see us Christians freaking out when Donald Trump lost the 2020 election because he had it stolen away from him? No, we just kept fighting. And we just kept talking about issues, hoping and knowing that one day God was going to turn it around. And last Tuesday, November the 5th, he did. And Christians tell me all the time, well, Kevin, the stuff you talk about in your sermons at Fox River, if we talked about that stuff in our church, we'd get run out of there. Well, then you need to come to my church because Fox River people have tough skin and soft hearts. When all the other churches were closed down for COVID, we opened up and kept praising the Lord. When Christians were told they had to get the clot shot, we started writing religious exemption letters and kept praising the Lord. When we got canceled on YouTube and Facebook for supposedly spreading misinformation, we just kept preaching the truth and praising the Lord. When people in this church got death threats from trannies on the outside, we just kept preaching the truth and praising the Lord. And Fox River people, you don't even have to tell them to stand up when they sing because they do it on their own, rejoicing in hope. So let me ask you this morning, what's that hopeless situation in your life right now? Maybe you're out of shape. You got Burroughs disease, which means your chest has fallen into your drawers. When you were younger, you kept working at being hip. Now that you're older, you just hope your hip keeps working. Hopeless. Your mom and dad fight like a cat and a dog, and it never stops. You find out that your wife has been cheating on you with one of your best friends, and the last 24 years of your marriage has been nothing but a joke. Your 13-year-old daughter falls in love with another girl. Here we go. Your ex lies about you so bad, your kids, they don't even want to live with you anymore. You and your husband, you and your wife both are working like coal mine mules, and you still can't make enough money to pay your bills and take care of your kids. Your husband absolutely will not stop drinking in spite of all the threats and the crying and the ultimatums. Everything you taught your kids about Jesus Christ, they spit all over. Today they're as pagan as a Swahili witch doctor. You've already had 3 miscarriages and the sonogram shows this baby is dying too. The doctor tells you your cancer is stage 4 and there's absolutely nothing he can do to cure it. What in the world? What in the world are you going to do? Hopeless. But you know what? Those people face some seemingly hopeless situations too. Last September the 28th, Hurricane Helene slammed into the Florida coast, then traveled 500 miles inland and dropped 40 trillion gallons of rain flood water on Tennessee, Georgia, and especially western North Carolina. And people, the damage was apocalyptic, like something right out of the Bible. Over 250 people killed, entire towns and communities just washed away and wiped completely off the map with walls of water 30, 40, 50 feet high. You talk about a hopeless situation. But folks, even in that kind of hell to deal with, the people of God still had hope in Jesus Christ. 56-year-old Benjamin Carter had a house on the side of the mountain in Middleton, North Carolina. That day, the river behind his house was kept rising higher and higher, higher than he'd ever seen it before in his entire life, till it flooded his house all the way to the top. So he climbed out on the roof, and in the wind and the rain just started screaming, "Jesus, help me! Jesus, help me!" For 3 solid hours, clinging to that roof for dear life, screaming, "Jesus, help me! Jesus, help me!" And it was going to have to be Jesus, because he didn't have any neighbors for miles and miles around. "Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me." And then what do you know? All of a sudden, literally out of nowhere, here came an inflated rubber raft down that river. Floated right up to the edge of the roof. He jumped in, rode it to the next town and saved his life. Holy escape from Gilligan's Island, people. Is God the God of the impossible or what? And when the water went down and he went back to check what was left of his house, he saw that. Now, the house was totally trashed. But he saw that the Bible he had washed out of his house and was jammed between 2 fence posts in his front yard. And that Bible was open, the Revelation chapters 14 and 15. That talks about the judgment that God's going to pour out on the world during the Great Tribulation. And the very first verse on the very first open page was Revelation chapter 14, verse 2, that says this: "I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of thunder and mighty rushing waters." Gee, you think maybe God's trying to tell us something? That even in judgment, God is still going to remember mercy? Even in that hopeless situation, that follower of Jesus Christ had hope in Jesus Christ. So people, listen to me. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care how dark or helpless or hopeless it may seem to be. There's always hope because there is always God. And with God, there's no such thing as a hopeless situation. So when you're in trouble up to your eyeballs, don't just rejoice in what God did to save you in the past. You rejoice in what God's going to do to save you right now. Because Romans chapter 10, verse 11, he who hopes in the Lord will never, ever be disappointed. Amen. The first thing we need to do to have that hope in Jesus Christ, we need to rejoice in it. Amen. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to have that hope in Jesus Christ. We not only need to rejoice in it, we also need to wait on it. And that's also what we see here in verse 12. Patience in affliction. Be patient. And I know there's somebody here in this sermon right now saying, Kevin, you got no idea the kind of hell that I'm going through right now. It doesn't matter. Because this word affliction isn't just talking about having a bad hair day or a hangnail or your computer freezing up like the Mendenhall Glacier or the Chicago Bears offensive line, because that really is hopeless. This word affliction here literally means the absolute worst catastrophic disaster you could ever imagine in your entire life. The worst. And it's telling you to do what? Not just telling you, don't worry, be happy about it. This is literally saying in the Greek, get your mind right about what's really going on in your life and what God is doing with that thing in your life. Because the Bible tells us, like a broken record, in times of trouble and affliction, in this fallen world, it really lays us out. But Jesus promises us and tells us ahead of time, it's going to happen. John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world, you will have difficulty. You will have it. Amen. And why does God allow the difficulty? Why does God allow some of the affliction? Why does God allow some bad things to happen in our life? To get us off the phone? To get our attention? To make us realize how much we really need Him? To drive us back to Him? Amen. Last September, Princess Kate Middleton of England finished all the chemo treatments that she had to go through to take care of her cancer. This is what she said about it. All that I went through with the cancer and all the fear made me realize how my life really is a gift from God and how much we really depend on Him every single day for our very existence. And it reconnected me to the Christian faith that I practiced when I was growing up. See why God allows some stuff? She's got her mind right about that affliction in her life. Let me ask you, you got your mind right? And I know there's somebody hearing this saying, Kevin, I'm hoping in God for something, but I don't see anything happening. Yeah, but delayed does not mean denied. Because Romans chapter 8, verse 28, God's not just working that one thing in your life. He's working all things in your life. All those things together to make it all good. And God's work takes time. Amen. Patience. Because hoping in God means waiting on God. Patience. And we don't want to have patience for anything today. We don't want to wait for anything today. 3 out of 4 Americans keep pushing elevator buttons after they've already been pushed once. The average American only spends 20 seconds on hold before they hang up. Bisquick, shake and pour. Just add water, shake it and pour. Because regular Bisquick isn't quick enough anymore. No patience. I don't have patience because I don't have time for it. I actually had my patience tested 2 weeks ago. I came back negative. People ask me all the time, Kevin, do you still run? Yeah, I run out of patience. Back in 1989, God told me that Susan Husted was the woman that I was going to marry. The only problem is God never told Sue that. So it took us 4 years to get to the altar. But God used those 4 years to make all kinds of changes in me that needed to be made in order for me to be married. Patience. See this girl right here? How she looked when she was in the 8th grade? That's actress and model Megan Fox. That's what she looks like now. Young people, patience, because you have no idea how God will work. You have no idea what God is going to do. Back when he was 8 years old, God told Jake Bates one day he was going to be a kicker in the NFL. But after he got out of college, Arkansas State, no NFL team even drafted him. He was out of football altogether. Then he got a tryout with the Houston Texans 2022, but they cut him 3 weeks later. God, what are you doing? You promised me. And it didn't make any sense because the guy could consistently hit 50-plus yard field goals like nobody's business. So eventually got signed by the Michigan Panthers of the United Football League. And there he kicked a 64-yard field goal, and that got people's attention. So last June, he was selling bricks for a construction company in Houston, Texas, when he got a call from the Detroit Lions. And just this past Sunday, he kicked a 58-yarder and a 52-yard field goal to help the Detroit Lions beat the Houston Texans. This is what Jake Bates said about it.
For 52 for the win, it is just good! Just inside the upright, Jake Bates, hometown hero!
Just recently, you were a brick salesman. You thought you were out of football. So what does this mean to you to come back and do this in your hometown area?
I mean, I think it just shows, you know, how good the Lord is. He's so faithful, and man, my story is, if anything, I just hope people can see Jesus through my story, and I mean, that's what I think I'm here to do, is not make or miss or be a good kicker or a bad kicker, but spread the love of Jesus. So, you know, hopefully I'm able to do that on the stage I'm given.
Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. Hold on to the vision, for the vision awaits its time. If it's not God's timing, you can't force it. If it is God's timing, you can't stop it. Hoping in God means waiting on God. And there's people listening to the sermon right now, sitting right here in this church. Let me ask you, if you're not going to put your hope in God, what are you going to put your hope in? Government, like the left is telling you to do? 2 weeks ago, a whistleblower let it out that after Hurricane Milton slammed into Florida, FEMA sent this memo out to all of its workers. Per leadership, avoid houses advertising Trump. So your FEMA, your government agency that you pay for, were purposely not helping Trump supporters, anybody that had Trump signs in their front yard. People who were dying, people who were drowning, people who have been devastated and lost every single thing that they had. Sorry, tough toenails, you're voting for the wrong person. And even though Donald Trump knew he's going to get barbecued for it, he said exactly the same thing was happening in western North Carolina after Hurricane Helene, where FEMA was ghosting all the white MAGA hillbillies because they were the wrong color in the wrong party. And regardless of what the New York Times says, it was not a debunked conspiracy theory. It's the God's honest truth. There's government. This past week, J.B. Pritzker announced the Governor's Saving Democracy Initiative. All the stupid woke governors all across America who are banding together to fight against Donald Trump and all of his supporters because the leftists haven't murdered enough babies or castrated enough children yet. Here's what J.B. Pritzker said.
To anyone who intends to come take away the freedom and opportunity and dignity of Illinoisans, I would remind you that a happy warrior is still a warrior. You come for my people, you come through me.
Ooh, I'm scared. Listen, JB, Christians in Illinois are not your people. We are God's people. And if you come after us with the gun grabbing and the tampons in the boys' bathroom, you come after us, you've got to go through God, and good luck with that. You're in a seemingly hopeless situation. You don't put your hope in government. You put your faith and your trust and your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then sit back and have patience and watch him do his work. Lisa Domsky, born-again Christian, for 38 years was an employee of Blue Cross Blue Shield in Michigan. The only job she had right out of high school. And so over the years, she got 10 different promotions, all kinds of employee awards. She was loved so much by the people in that company, her supervisor had Lisa Domsky as the godmother of all of her kids. And back in 2017, she started working as an IT specialist from her house, from an office in her own basement, in her own home. She never went to a corporate building at all. Then 2020, COVID came along. And Blue Cross of Blue Shield of Michigan said all their employees had to get the clot shot. Well, Lisa Domsky, born again Christian, she filed for religious exemption. No, they said, no exemptions, no exceptions. And she said, this is insane. I don't work with anybody. I work every single day by myself. I never mix with any other employees. Blue Cross Blue Shield said, you don't get the clot shot, you're out of here. She refused. They fired her. Model employee for almost 40 years. So Lisa Domsky filed a lawsuit against Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan for discrimination. And just this past week, a jury in Detroit awarded that woman $13 million in damages and compensation. Because in America, you cannot force people to choose between their religious convictions and their job and their livelihood. When you're in a seemingly impossible situation, you don't quit, you don't give up, you don't take your ball and go home, you don't kill yourself like the devil wants you to. You put your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Psalm chapter 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from every single one of them. Do we understand when affliction comes how much we need to be patient and just trust and hope and believe that God is going to work it out in his own way and in his own time, like he did with him? Because you think Donald Trump had some affliction in his life? Maybe a little bit. called a traitor with a phony Russian collusion hoax, called a racist because he wanted to build a border wall, 5 bogus indictments against him, judges who tried to take all of his money away and all of his businesses away, finally convicted and by a kangaroo court in New York City just so the left could call him a convicted felon, even though his only crime was running for president and wanted to make America great again. 9 different states tried to take his name off the ballot. Prosecutors tried to keep him in jail so that he couldn't campaign. 4 assassination attempts against him in 2024 that put him and his wife and his children through absolute hell. I could go on and on with the affliction. But see, Donald Trump never quit. He just kept fighting. He stayed patient and kept hoping in the Lord. And all of us Christians, we went through the affliction, too, over the last 4 years, watching the 2020 election be stolen by the left and the stolen dementia patient Joe Biden in the White House as the puppet of the New World Order and the deep state. All the tyranny, all the censorship on social media, the lockdowns, no jab, no job. They closed our churches while they left the liquor stores and the pot shops and the strip clubs open. Being told that we wanted to kill grandma. And our family treating us like lepers because we didn't get the clot shot. The left turning your kids into genderqueer unicorns, and every day was Gay Pride Month. And the BLM riots were justified, and July 4th is racist. And the left turning America and Illinois into the killing fields with tourism, abortion. I could go on and on with the affliction. But see, us Christians, we didn't quit. We just kept fighting. And we had patience, trusting, and hoping in God. And then praise the Lord and pass the ammunition against all odds, the greatest political comeback in the history of this country. In spite of everything in the deck all stacked against him, Donald Trump was reelected in an absolute landslide with an absolute mandate to undo all the damage that the left has done to this country over the last 4 years. And all kinds of good things have already happened because Donald Trump won. New York City will stop giving debit cards to illegals. Caravans of illegals heading to the southern border are breaking up and going back home. The stock market hit an all-time high. The European Union now wants to buy natural gas from America and not Russia. Ukraine and Russia want to talk to Donald Trump about ending the war. Hamas wants an immediate end to the war with Israel. Qatar will no longer harbor terrorist leaders. Ratings for CNN and MSNBC are now in the toilet, and they're announcing layoffs for hundreds of employees. All that in just the first 72 hours of Donald Trump winning. It's morning in America, folks. But here's the kicker. Absolutely none of those good things would be happening. Absolutely nothing that Donald Trump was in a position to do now would have ever been possible if he hadn't lost that election in 2020. Because if Donald Trump had won in 2020, all the attacks against him would have just continued. He would have had a Democrat House and Senate fighting him at every turn. He wouldn't have had any kind of mandate like he has today. There wouldn't have been anywhere near the groundswell of support for him or the prayer support for him like there is today. If the left had just let Donald Trump win the 2020 election, he would be out of office right now, and everything he wanted to do for this country would be out the door with it. And not only that, America wasn't ready for Donald Trump in 2020 again either. Because people in this country needed to see 4 years of what America was like without it. People in this country needed to see what 4 years of this country is like rejecting God and His Word. And from 2020 to 2024, under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they saw it in spades. Because it all came out in the wash. It was all exposed. It was all brought to the light. The sins of the Amorites reached their full measure. And finally, enough people in this country finally woke up and realized it was so evil and so carnival freak crazy, they decided that their nation would never survive. So last November the 5th, a majority of Americans voted for America and voted to try to save this country by reelecting Donald Trump as president. And you know what? Again, that would have never happened if Donald Trump hadn't lost the election in 2020. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. The devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And you know what? Donald Trump wasn't ready in 2020 either, because something needed to happen to him. And last July the 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania, it did happen. There's Donald Trump, 2 millimeters away from having the back of his head blown off. On his knees, on his face, on that stage, humbled, realizing that there is a God in heaven and that that God had spared his life because of his grace and mercy. Amen. Here's what Donald Trump said about it at the Republican National Convention just 5 days later.
I'm not supposed to be here tonight.
Not supposed to be here.
Yes, you are.
Thank you. But I'm not. And I'll tell you, I stand before you in this arena only by the grace of Almighty God. The last few days, many people say it was a providential moment. Probably was.
People, Donald Trump was changed. And you know what? That change would have never happened if Donald Trump hadn't lost that 2020 election. Do we see why there had to be an interval between his two terms? Do we see why Donald Trump had to be the 45th president and the 47th president, but not the 46th? And you know what? That's exactly what the Bible tells us too. Because if there is one person in the Bible who is most like Donald Trump, it's King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who served two terms as well. And what happened in the middle of those two terms? King Nebuchadnezzar was humbled by God and made to realize that the God of the Bible was the only God there is. And where is this told us? In Daniel chapter 2, get this, verses 45, 46, and 47. And verse 45. King Nebuchadnezzar realizes how great him and his nation had really become. Verse 46, King Nebuchadnezzar is not in office because he's being humbled by God and made to realize the God of the Bible is the only God there is. Then verse 47, when he realizes that, his kingdom is restored to him and he gets back in office and gets back in power. And folks, exactly the same parallels with Donald Trump. 45, Donald Trump as 45th president of the United States realizes how great he and his kingdom had become, he and his nation. Verse 46, Donald Trump is not the 46th president of the United States. He is out of office because he is being humbled by God and made to realize the God of the Bible is the only God there is. 47, when Donald Trump realizes that, he gets restored to his office. He has his power given back to him. 47, he is elected as the 47th president of the United States. Folks, 2020, Donald Trump did not have a prayer of ever being president again. People wanted to hang him for treason. They said he was criminally insane. He was an insurrectionist. Him being president again was totally impossible. It was never going to happen. But he kept being patient, kept trusting in God, and God made it happen in his own way and in his own time. People, listen to me. I don't care what kind of seemingly hopeless situation you are looking at right now. I don't care if it doesn't make any sense at the moment. God has a way, God has a plan, and God has a time to fix it and make it all right. So here is a trustworthy saying, worthy of remembrance, and for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, the Savior of all men. Just have some patience. The second thing we need to do to have that hope in Jesus Christ, we need to wait for it and have patience. Go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to have that hope in Jesus Christ. We not only need to rejoice in it, we not only need to wait for it, but third, we need to pray about it. And that's also what we see here in verse 12. Faithful in prayer. Because it's prayer that keeps that connection with God going and that keeps the hope flowing. And folks, I'm not just talking about now I lay me down to sleep praying. I'm talking about getting down on your knees, getting down on your face, getting a hold of God. The devil can't defeat you. The world can't stop you. And hell can't handle you kind of praying the glory down praying. Amen. Back before the election in 2020, we had a group of people from this church who started meeting on Monday nights to pray. They prayed all through the stolen election. They prayed all through January the 6th. Praying for this country, praying for revival, praying for this church and all the people in it. They prayed through the entire lockdown. They prayed through this past election, all through election 2024. And every Monday night, unless they're dead, they're still here praying. And don't tell me that this country and this church hasn't been blessed and protected because of it. Faithful in prayer. Amen. Right. So all the rest of us, let me ask you, are we faithful in prayer? Amen. And listen to me, we better be praying. Because people, we are in a spiritual battle up to our eyeballs. And people tell me all the time, well, Kevin, Donald Trump, he won the election. Yeah, that's great for a lot of reasons. But you know what that means? Do you know the only thing that that means? It only means that we have a chance. We have a chance in this battle now. And that's it. Because there ain't nothing guaranteed. And our enemies haven't gone anywhere. And they're still going to fight us every single step of the way. And we see it on every side. U.S. Defense Department Directive 5240.01 would allow this, I kid you not, the United States military to use deadly force and to shoot and kill any American that resists official leftist policy. That is honest to God on the table as an option right now for the U.S. Defense Department. We got 75-year-old Christian grandmothers right now sitting in prison just because they prayed in front of an abortion clinic. For the first time in the history of this country, we have a transgender member of Congress, a representative from Delaware named Tim McBride, who calls himself Sarah, in the heart of our nation's capital, the heart and soul of our nation, spitting all over God's word and denying the laws of nature and nature's God that this country was founded on. You don't think we need to be praying? We better be praying for President Donald Trump. Just this past week, the FBI arrested 3 more Iranians in this country trying to assassinate him and take him out. He is getting so many death threats, he is now using robotic dogs to protect himself and his family at Mar-a-Lago. President JFK spoke out against the deep state and got whacked back in 1963. His brother Robert F. Kennedy spoke out against the deep state. He got whacked in 1968. Donald Trump speaks out about the deep state all the time. And you better be praying for President Donald Trump. Last month, an FBI whistleblower named Marcus Allen testified in front of the House Judiciary Committee and said that the deep state, the federal government, has already been so weaponized against the American people. Even if Donald Trump gets elected, there's not enough time to stop that from destroying this country. This is what the FBI guy said himself. And listen to the advice he's given you for the future.
My other recommendations are in the natural order. First, vote. The second is the Second Amendment. Arm yourself and know how to defend yourself. Make 3 to 4 friends in your neighborhood and promise to come to each other's mutual aid in times of hardship. And during the Great Depression, people stocked up a pantry. So I think that's a good practice, especially in our economic times, and make sure you have 3 to 4 months of food. As a person of faith, I'd say pray the rosary. Go to the First Friday devotions. That's for everybody, all my brothers and sisters of all faiths, and I know I'm Catholic, and read the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and live it every day. And that's all I have to say. Thank you for the time.
Hear what the FBI guy said with the inside information? Hunker down, stockpile food, get a gun, read the Bible, and pray. Gee, happy Thanksgiving. And I know there's people listening to this sermon right now. You say, Kevin, do you really think it's over? Do you really think it's too late to turn this country around, even with the election of Donald Trump? And the only thing I can tell you, honest to God, I don't know. But I do know this. If we are not praying like now, like we have never prayed before in our entire lives, it is going to be over. Because we are not going to win this spiritual battle. We got to keep praying. We got to keep praying because all the signs are there that we are living in the last days. And I have people tell me again, well, Kevin, Donald Trump got elected, so it doesn't matter anymore. Are you kidding me? Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly unless Donald Trump gets elected to a second term. Does your Bible say that? Because my Bible doesn't say that. All the signs are there, the last days, and the biggest sign of all is what's happening in Israel right now. In case you don't know, Israel is fighting a war now on 8 different fronts. They're destroying Hamas in Gaza. They're destroying Hezbollah in Lebanon. The Houthi rebels in Yemen. They're fighting against all kinds of Iranian-backed militias in Iraq and Syria. And in case you haven't heard, Israel is cleaning house, like right out of the Bible. And what that is doing is giving Israel peace and security. Peace and security. Peace and security, which is exactly what the Bible says Israel is going to have when they are invaded by Russia and Iran and Turkey in the Battle of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. A war that's going to happen right after the rapture, right at the start of the Great Tribulation. See how close we really are? Isaiah chapter 10, verse 34, and then the very next book verse in the Bible, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 says, when Israel destroys Lebanon, the Messiah will come. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 34 says, Lebanon will fall to the Mighty One. That name Mighty One in Hebrew is Adir. Right now, IDF is using F-35 fighter jets to attack and bomb Lebanon. Do you know what IDF calls their F-35 fighter jets? a deer. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 34 says, Lebanon will be cut down by iron. Do you know what name IDF has given to their operation against Lebanon right now? A name supposedly chosen at random by a computer, Iron Sword. Lamentations chapter 5, verse 18 says, in the last days, foxes will be seen on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Folks, there's all kinds of foxes on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem now. Something that hasn't happened for hundreds and hundreds of years. All the ritual baths and cleansing pools that were built 2,000 years ago by King Herod, and the same pools that are going to be used when the next temple is built on that Temple Mount in Jerusalem, are now all of a sudden mysteriously filled up with water. The red heifers are in Jerusalem already for the sacrifice. The Orthodox Jews are resurrecting and putting back together the Sanhedrin. Last October the 11th, on the Jewish Day of Atonement, the water of the Red Sea turned blood red. Close to the place where Sodom and Gomorrah was. People, it's coming. The kingdom is coming. Gog and Magog is coming. The Antichrist is coming. And any second, Jesus is coming. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead of Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The last one up. Turn out the lights. We're going home, people. What do we do in the meantime? What do we do in the meantime? We stay faithful in prayer. Because people, we have no idea. We have no idea the kind of evil that we are up against in this battle. For years and years, all of us Christians have wondered, why in the world do leftists do so many things that really hurt people? Why do they celebrate baby murder and mutilating children and importing millions and millions of illegals into this country who are raping and murdering American citizens? Why do they do that? Well, the answer is very simple. It's because they worship the devil and the kingdom of the Antichrist in Revelation chapter 13. That's what gave Adolf Hitler his mojo. Adolf Hitler was introduced to occult power by a demonic group in Germany called the Thule Society. That's why Adolf Hitler's speeches hypnotized so many people. The guy was possessed by the devil. And Adolf Hitler passed the baton to Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, because Klaus Schwab grew up in Nazi Germany and his father was a part of the Nazi power. So Klaus Schwab just took Adolf Hitler's Third Reich and turned it into the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And Klaus Schwab is from the exact same Luciferian order that Adolf Hitler was, created by a Russian witch named Madame Blavatsky, who claimed that demons spoke to her and gave her a secret wisdom for the world, something called theosophy. And theosophy is still around to this day. And Madame Blavatsky said, the Christians have it all wrong because the devil is really the good guy. And in her book, The New Age Wisdom for the Planet, she said the devil is really the good guy because he's the light bearer. He's the one that's going to bring real peace to the world by setting up a one world government and a one world religion. And a one world leader who's inspired by the devil. And in case that sounds familiar, that's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen during the Great Tribulation. A one world government, a one world religion, and a one world leader inspired by the devil, the Antichrist. According to Theosophy and Madame Blavatsky, if you worship the devil and you help the devil put his kingdom together, you are the one who's really bringing about world peace. How many of y'all realize Adolf Hitler read that book? See what it's all about? See what the left is really all about? And then Madame Blavatsky passed the torch to another witch named Annie Besant, who was hooked up with another Luciferian order called Freemasonry. And the demons told Annie Besant that there's too many people in the world. So there's where the whole depopulation agenda of the WEF and Bill Gates and the Great Reset comes from. And Annie Besant was also besties with a woman named Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood and the whole eugenics movement that tries to eliminate all the so-called weeds and misfit people, as they call them. Adolf Hitler read Annie Besant's books too. Then another woman named Alice Bailey took over. And for the sake of PR, she didn't want to call it a Luciferian order, so she called it the New World Order or the New Age Movement after Madame Blavatsky's book. Are the bells and whistles going off in your head yet? And guess what symbol she picked for the coming Luciferian age, where the devil is the good guy and the Christians are the bad guy? That would be the rainbow. Ah, See where the whole LGBTQ pride movement comes from? See how everything about the left is connected and all traced back to the devil? And Alice Bailey said all the Christians are holding up the New World Order and have to be gotten rid of. And the devil told her the good news to them that eventually all the Christians are just going to disappear and leave this dimension. We're holding them up, Christians, and they're expecting us to disappear. And any second when the rapture comes, they're going to be right. Alice Bailey started the Lucifer Publishing Company in 1922, and it still exists today under the name the Lucius Trust, still promoting the Antichrist idea that the devil is the good guy and Christians and everything we stand for are the bad guy. And the Lucius Trust is totally tied to the United Nations. And every year the United Nations has an official invocation day to call for the Luciferian takeover of the entire world. And folks, the United Nations is totally New Age. Pushing the one world government and the one world religion. The United Nations does not have a prayer room. They have what's called a meditation room with all kinds of New Age symbols and pictures in it. And what is the goal of the United Nations written in their founding documents? What is their slogan? To bring peace and safety to the world. And to them, the biggest roadblocks to peace and safety in the world is Christianity and the Jewish people in the Middle East. So the United Nations is totally dedicated to destroying Christianity and the nation of Israel, which is why they're promoting the Palestinian state, which is exactly what Barack Obama and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Tony Blinken and the United Nations and the rest of the entire world are doing right now. Peace and safety. Peace and safety. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 says, when they say peace and safety, disaster will come upon them. It's all about getting the devil and the Antichrist to take God's place and to be worshipped and glorified instead of God. See what this spiritual battle is really all about? Amen. And folks, we better tune in because we're fighting that exact same spiritual battle right here in America. Because that exact same demon spirit is right here in our own country, right smack dab in Washington, D.C., in the White House itself. President Franklin Pierce and his wife Jane lost a son when he was in office. So they brought in all kinds of spiritualists and occultists to the White House to do a seance to try to contact him. And that demon spirit never left the White House. President Abraham Lincoln and his wife Mary lost a son when he was in office. And Mary Todd Lincoln had all kinds of seances in the White House to try to contact him. And for decades and decades afterwards, foreign emissaries who stayed from countries all over the world overnight at the White House would run screaming from their bedrooms because they said there was demon spirits in there and the place was haunted. Nancy Reagan was up to her eyeballs in astrology and wanted President Ronald Reagan to make policy decisions based on it. President George H.W. Bush pushed the New World Order, and his son George W. Bush were both members of the demonic Skull and Bone Society at Yale. Bill Clinton said the most powerful spiritual experience he ever had in his entire life was with voodoo in Haiti when he was in college, when a voodoo priest, demon-possessed, told him that one day he would be president of the United States. When Hillary Clinton was first lady in the White House, she bragged about channeling the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt in there. In 2014 to 2016, when she was running for president, her campaign advisor, John Podesta, would bring in a witch called Marina Abramovitz to do what they called spirit cookers. Hillary Clinton, her entire staff conjuring demon spirits. Barack and Michelle Obama had seances in the White House to try to contact Michelle Obama's father, Frazier Robinson. And folks, I'm not making any of this up. This is all documented because they don't make any attempt to hide it. When Joe Biden was in the White House, one of Barack Obama's toadies, Susan Rice, would bring in witches for what's called smudging ceremonies, trying to rid all the Donald Trump energy out of the White House. Kamala Harris has the spirit of Jezebel. No wonder they want Joe Biden to step down so Kamala Harris can become the 47th president of the United States to keep the satanic chain going. My God, people, you talk about evil. Because for decades and decades, our nation has been infiltrated by people who really want to serve and worship the devil. Even in the highest places for the sake of the New World Order and the kingdom of the Antichrist. People, this really is a spiritual battle. And it really is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And everybody's wondering, what about when Donald Trump was in the White House? Well, here's the kicker. For the last 4 years, over 70,000 witches all over the United States and Canada have been meeting on Zoom to try to put hexes and spells and curses on Donald Trump to keep him from getting reelected. Because they knew that Donald Trump is against everything devil and New World Order. But the crazy thing is, none of those spells work. And the witches have said that themselves. Here's what one witch said in the Associated Press. The spells against Donald Trump don't work because he seems to have some kind of shield around him. We're all trying to figure out a way to create other spells that can bypass it, but it's just impossible. Another witch said this, I hate to say this, but you can't do magic against Donald Trump. He has a form of protection surrounding him that just gets stronger the more kinds of magic we throw at him. Donald Trump has some kind of protection. I know exactly what that protection is. It is the prayers of God's people so that no weapon formed against him shall prosper. Christians, for the world, for this country, for revival, for the church, for the Christians who are trying to hang on in these last days and stay faithful to God, for your children and grandchildren, for everything that's holy and decent, for the love of God, stay faithful in prayer. While there's still time. And you can still do ministry that will impact this world and people in their hearts and minds that will last for eternity. Because Christians, listen to me. Listen. No time at all. We're going to be gone. We're talking today about having hope in Jesus Christ. The greatest hope of all, the blessed hope, is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's going to come and take us home. Any second now. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be gone. There's a whole lot of people going home by the signs of times. It won't be very long. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll soon be gone. There's a whole lot of people going home. There will be so many who are missing. You'd think everybody would want to go. But they're all too busy going nowhere. And they're really going to miss us. Down below, there's a whole lot of people going home. By the signs of times, it won't be very long. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll soon be gone. There's a whole lot of people going home. And the most important question of all for people sitting in this church right now, listening to the sermon, us Christians are going. The only question is, are you going with us? We're talking today about having hope in Jesus Christ. You know what? You don't have hope in Jesus Christ if you don't have salvation in Jesus Christ. If you don't go with us in the rapture, you're going to have to stay down here and go through the hell on earth of the great tribulation. Now, can you get saved during the great tribulation? Absolutely you will, but you will be killed for it. So the question is, if you can't pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior right now when there's no pressure whatsoever, how in the world are you going to pray to receive Christ when it's going to cost you your life? You won't, and you know it. If you are here today and you're not saved, you never confess your sins to God, you've never put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away, you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, get out of your seat the nanosecond the service is over, come to the front of this church, pray with us, and give your life and your heart and your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to do that today. You need to do that immediately. Do it now. Because any second now, it's going to be too late. Any second now, we're all going to fly away.
Sometimes when this life is over.